name is ER. I would like to hear a program regarding overcoming the difficulties and challenges of blended family, blended family dynamics.
Well, you ask and you shall receive around here at Intentional Living, and that's what we're talking about today, blended families and how to be intentional. And we have a great guest joining us here in just a moment, Ron Deal from Family Life Blended. He has some great things to share with you as he's been through this process and helps families. He'll be joining us, and your calls are as well. Welcome today. If you've learned some lessons, maybe some experiences that you'd say, hey, we just want to tell others who are following us about blending and how to be intentional, come join us as a community here at Intentional Living Center. Call 888-888-1717. Now, when you think about the term blended, and words matter, when you think about blending, it's kind of like two substances becoming something new, right? As you put it into the blender. Sometimes I think we fail to realize that when you put things into a blender, there's a lot of heat generated as well. There's a lot of energy generated when you try to take two substances and make them something new and different. And so instead of being kind of a smooth process, it can be very difficult. It gets very messy. And that's what we hear with stories. And we'd like to hear what you have learned in this process, how being intentional maybe has made a difference, or how you blew it and you'd share with someone else following you. So give us a call, 888-888-1717. And today we're talking about blended families. And as I mentioned, Ron Deal from Family Life Blended is joining us right now on the phone. And Ron, first of all, I want to say welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's always good to be with you.
Hey, listen, we're talking about blended families and being smart as a stepmom or stepdad. What are some things that you and your work you've discovered that really are important for people to be thinking about? What are some of the major challenges blended families are facing?
Well, I think a couple challenges come to mind right off the bat. Let's say a stepmom or stepdad does not have their own children. So instantly, they have kids in the house. And so you go from maybe being a single person on your own to now there's kids running around, and they're not newborns. They're not sitting around just doing nothing. They're adolescents, or, you know, they're tweens ages, and they've got life and schedules and friends and agendas and commitments and loyalties to their biological parent, the parent in the house, and also their biological parent in the other house if that parent is still living. And so all of that kind of converges on the step-parent, where they find themselves confused, not sure what to do, what does good parenting look like, how do I handle all this, activity and schedule, and wham, you know, right there they are. The other scenario is a biological parent who becomes a step-parent to their spouse's kids. And so they have in their mind what it is to be a parent. And a lot of people don't realize that they just kind of bring those assumptions about parenting right into the step-parent role. But what they discover very quickly is that many of those things, concepts, and principles will carry over nicely, but some of them won't. And so being a disciplinarian, for example, you know, if something happens with their kids, they're right on it, and they handle it and move on. But when they try to do the very same thing as a step-parent to step-children, then they discover that they get pushback, people get angry with them. Hey, that's not the way we do it around here. Their spouse comes to them and says, what are you trying to do? These are my kids. I don't think I want you handling them that way. And all of a sudden, they get really confused going from knowing what it is to be a parent and have authority and power and position to being a step-parent and not knowing what your authority is, what your role is, or what your position is. And so those kinds of dynamics just create confusion for step-parents that really we try to help them understand and help them make sense of and then know how to respond to.
All right. I hear you talking, I think, about the power of agreement, Ron. I want you to hang on because we'll have you back in a moment to talk a little bit more about that. You know, on Facebook today, on this very topic, Vanita posted, she says, our family blended so well right from the beginning that we really felt blessed. My husband's kids were 7 and 9 and mine were 4 and 5 when we got married. A year and a half later, we have a daughter together. And I think this is key, we never referred to each other as step anything. All 5 of the kids have always been considered ours, and I believe that was one of the best decisions we made. Being a blended family has certainly enriched our lives, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. What's been your experience? 888-1717.
Hi, Dr. Carlson. I'm listening to your program about blended families and just wanted to say that we've been at blended families for 11 years. The kids were 1, 2, and 4 when we got together. And the biggest suggestion I can make to anybody who wants to blend their family is to really dive in deep to having God free you of all the past hurts, habits, and hang-ups that you might be bringing into the marriage, because that all gets in the way before you can even blend your family together. And if you can be healed of those things first, the blending goes a lot easier. I'm happy to say that our family, although we've had many difficulties, has blended nicely, and they're now all 3 teenagers, and we work through things through conversation and in love. So thank you.
You're very welcome, and thank you for sharing your stories with us. And we have something very helpful for blended families at our website today, Intentional Living. It's the top 10 list. It's our intentionals on blending families. And when you come to theintentionallife.com, just click on the broadcast highlights there, and you'll get to the intentionals for today. The number one on the list is expectations minus reality equals disappointment. And I write in the intentionals that you got to set aside some time, maybe this week, to discuss each family member's expectations for being in this family. It's better to acknowledge expectations. This is a key. It's better to acknowledge expectations, even if they are unreasonable and can't be met, than it is to ignore the expectations altogether. It's better to get them on the table, talk about them, and be clear. That's one of the 10 on the list of the top 10. It's for you. It's available at theintentionallife.com. Okay, Ron, you know, we've been talking about, you know, this blended family. I know that's your real ministry, and about the power of agreement and resolving issues early. So tell us, how do blended families really begin to do that?
Yeah, well, timing. They ought to be having these parenting conversations and finding agreement, as you mentioned, before the wedding. But here's the deal, Randy. I'm just going to shoot straight with you. Our research shows that anywhere from half to two-thirds of dating couples, where there's a kid from a previous relationship, do not have serious conversations about parenting after the wedding.
Right.
They don't even talk about it. Oftentimes, it doesn't even come up, anything more than a passing conversation. They are grossly unprepared for being a parenting team. And they need to have that conversation. I even think that ought to be a deal breaker to whether or not you get married.
Absolutely.
If we can't see eye to eye on parenting stuff. So it's not just,
yeah,
let's kind of talk about it a little bit. Let's look at it seriously. Are we going to be on the same page, or are we not going to be on the same page? Now, that's ideal, right? And we also know that some people are listening right now, and they're going, oops, well, we didn't do that. We didn't know to do that. So what do we do now? Well, if you're going to make any mistakes from this point forward, err on the side of protecting your marriage by having lots of proactive parenting powwows, as I like to call them. You get your heads together and you say, what are we going to do about X, Y, and Z? How, you know, what are you thinking? My rule is this, and, well, this is the way we've always done it, or this is the way I tend to respond in terms of discipline. Well, you know, I kind of see it a little bit different. Here's the danger, and it's so easy for a parent and step-parent to end up on opposite sides of the teeter-totter. One of them feels like we're being too tough. One of them feels like we're being too easy, and they don't meet in the middle, and they get polarized, and it pushes them to the edges of the teeter-totter, and then sometimes somebody, you know. You remember what happened when you were up on the teeter-totter,
right,
and your buddy dropped off the other side? That's what couples, yep, kind of end up doing to each other inadvertently when they're not working closely, coming together around parenting decisions. You really got to be proactive with this.
Absolutely, and it begins with communication. I'm stunned by that statistic, but it makes sense. What did you say, 50 to 75% of couples don't talk about the kids after they blend, after they get married?
And they don't talk about parenting proactively before the wedding. And then life, of course, throws them into, wow, what are we going to do about this? But oftentimes, you know, they're already behind the eight ball a little bit at that point. So it's better to get it even before you get married.
You know, it's always been an enigma to me, but we're human beings, so I guess we are an enigma. But why is it that we bring such pain on ourselves when we know these principles of let's communicate, let's talk, let's discuss, let's agree, let's work it out, and yet we often ignore it, we shove it, you know, down to a lower priority, we assume it's going to go away, or we start to get immature and moody and whatever. And you know who pays? We pay, and the kids pay. This is a very practical matter. Let me ask you this. What one thing, as we wrap this up today, what one thing would you recommend that a blended family could do today to be successful?
Well, around the matter of parenting, I would ask a parent and step-parent to come together and simply decide to play to their strengths. And here's what I mean by that. Let's assume you're kind of in the early years, in the first 4 or 5 years of your step-family, and we're going to let the biological parent handle discipline. We're going to let the biological parent, if they have to say no to the kids and they expect there's going to be a little pushback, we're going to let them handle it. Why? Because they have the strength to do so. And we're going to let the step-parent focus on building relationship, spending some one-on-one time with each child so that they are in the process of deepening their relationship with that child, which, of course, eventually gives them more authority with the child. But it plays to their strength of relationship building. And if couples will do that and ride it out, and it's frustrating sometimes because step-parents feel like, wow, man, I just feel like I can't get things done. Well, yes, you're kind of dependent on the biological parent to be the authority right now. And the biological parent says, man, I feel like I'm the bad guy all the time. Well, guess what? You kind of have to be, because eventually this is going to pay off in you being a team in the children's eyes and being able to lead from a position of unity. Everybody wins at that point. So it's worth the work.
Good stuff today. Ron, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right, Ron Diehl, appreciate him joining us here on the phone from Family Life Blended, helping us think this through about blended families and how to do this intentionally. Let's go to the phones, hear your stories. Johnny's on the line in New Mexico. Johnny, welcome to Intentional Living Center.
How you doing, Dr. Carlton?
Good. Thank I'm doing well. Me. Doing well. What have you learned about blending families?
Well, my wife and I, we were older. She's 6 years older than I am. We got married in our 30s and 40s with a blended family. I had 3 teenage daughters from a prior marriage, and the ex-wife was still in the picture as far as in the same city. And then I met my wife now. I'm in the military on a TDY trip to Arizona, and then we got married. And what we learned and what we did was what the other speaker was saying, was that we talked before the marriage. The one thing I do not like, and I disagree with what he said, was he's using that step a lot. We never use step at all because Jesus never called us stepchildren. We were Gentiles. We never were step anything. And I know we put that in because we're American, but stepchild and step anything is a connotation of something that's below. You got to step up, step down, something. So we don't use it in our family. We never use that. They were always my sons. They were always my daughters, her daughters. The big issue was that we talked at teenagers, and got to remember back when you were a teenage boy. At that point in high school, playing ball, hockey, whatever, which our boys did, they were listening to their friends more than their parents. So I was not going to have much of a say-so in their part because they're already 13 and 14. So it made a big deal, and the girls were already at that age where, and their mom was still in the picture because they live with their mom and they'd visit us on weekends. So we always had that issue of, okay, who's the authority issue. But I also put it out to a whole family that, hey, we have a new man of the house for the boys, and the girls had a new woman of the house because of my new wife. All right, and that came with it, the authority of that. My girls understood that because I always said that to about their mom. She's the woman of the house. What she says goes. But the boys had never heard that because they never had a dad. So that was a tough thing to get in the mix.
How long have you guys been blending, Johnny? How long have you been married now?
13 years with the woman. All the kids are grown and they're on their own. We got 3 grandkids. Uh-huh. And let me tell you something. The boys have come along great. The oldest one took to me real easy. He called me dad right away. But the youngest one, it took years. And we just kept playing. Now he's calling me dad. So, and the girls are, now it's the other way because the girls liked Deb when I was dating her. But now as we're married, it's a strained relationship.
So what's the one thing, Johnny, what's the one thing you would share to be intentional in terms of blending, the one lesson that you'd learn?
The one lesson that I learned is that there is a new man or new head of the household and the new woman of the household. It has to be stayed because of the where they came from. It was a big issue for me because I was the mother was still in it, but the father was not with the boys. But when there was a man of the house, they didn't have that. That was the issue, and that came into the authority issue of, okay, I'll just go to mom. No, you're not going to mom because I said no. Mom's not going to say yes. It made it to the point where we stuck together on our decisions, and if I said this is what mom said, that's the decision that was made.
And I think the key to that, Johnny, is this sense of agreement. When two people come together in a blended family, because everybody's going to do it a little differently, but I'll tell you what, when a mom and a dad are not on the same page, and I've always taught the dad's got to support the mom and the mom's got to support the dad with their kids, bringing them into the blended relationship. But when they don't stand together, wow, a huge problem. All right, my friend, thank you for your call.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are still open, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Coming up, Dr. Randy's got more to help you with your blended family. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Black Friday, we get up way too early, fight through crowds for things that honestly just don't matter that much. Well, this year, I'm buying something that will help put my family on a strong spiritual foundation for the new year. I'm going online to buy the Word for Your Life gift pack.
From the Intentional Living Center, the Word for Your Life gift pack includes a 90-day devotional book and the chronological Bible. The gift pack makes a great gift for someone you love or yourself. Each day, important truth from God's Word and the devotional bring everything into focus for your life. And right now, save 34%. Go to theintentionallife.com and order the Word for Your Life gift pack. That's theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. You know, there's probably not a program that goes by where you aren't going to hear me or Dr. Randy or even a caller talk about one thing. It's become a regular part of our vocabulary. But even more than that, it needs to be a regular part of our lives. If you need help figuring out the one thing that's important to you or to your family or to your faith, then drop by our website. Go to theintentionallife.com and click on Learn More. That's theintentionallife.com. Randy?
All right, thank you, Kurt. Intentional Living Center. Our doors are open. We're here live today talking about blended families. This is Thanksgiving week, isn't it? Coming up this Thursday, Thanksgiving. You know, when you think about blended families, holidays can be very stressful. His family, ours, theirs, back and forth, sharing expectations, new traditions, all of those things. I'll tell you what, a big theme of this is communicate. And build your family strong. Build a strong family. Be intentional from the very beginning. And when you do that, that's a great place to start with a blended family.
Hi, this is Dr. Kevin Lehman with advice on how you can be an intentional parent. Many people find themselves today in blended families. And I can tell you one thing straight out. They don't blend, they collide. You know, here's the prescription, although it's a simple one that'll help you survive as a couple. You know, the kids didn't ask for divorce or death of a parent. And now you've come together. Yes, you love each other. It's really important these kids look up and they see a solid union where there's absolutely no light between your shoulders. And you have to defer to each other. What does that mean? It's about your son. You get first shot on it, okay? You get the final call as well. So be respectful of each other. Show the kids that you are a union. You know, one of the reasons why kids give you a rough time in blended families is they want to know if you're for real. Show them you're for real. Show them you're committed to the Lord and you're committed to each other for a lifelong marriage. That's what those kids want. They want the assurance that you're going to be there. They've been hurt once through life, and they don't want to be hurt again. Do your best to be thoroughly married and be a good couple. That way you'll ensure you'll have great kids.
Very good. Thank you, my friend, Kevin Lehman, and stopping by with some good ideas on blending families. Let's go to the calls. Clarence is on the line. Clarence, welcome to our Intentional Living discussion here today.
How you doing, Doctor?
Good. Doing well. What's your experience or your take on blending families?
Well, I'm 65 years old, so my blended family, which really wasn't something that was real strong at that time. My father that adopted myself and my sister, and then my real mother had, they had a little boy, and then they ended up getting divorced, and my dad actually got custody of us, which that's a whole other issue. But and then a couple of years down the road, he ended up marrying another woman that had four boys, so we went from 3 to 7 kids overnight.
Wow.
My mom and my dad never once, there was never any mention of stepbrother, stepsister, half-brother, half-sister. We were always brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. My mom and dad were very strong in the Lord. They, especially my mom, taught us godly background and held us accountable, every single one of us. Not once did I ever see my mom and dad, even if we tried to pit them against each other, never once did I ever see them stand against each other. I learned later in life, you know, when I talked to my mom and dad, that if there was any discussion, it was behind closed doors, so that decisions were made in harmony and as a team, as a mom and dad, which parents need to stick together as a team to make sure that they show unity. But it definitely affected every single one of us.
How did it affect you in your life? You look back now from, 65. How did it impact your life?
Well, I have three beautiful daughters that are grown that I raised in the Lord. I would say that it absolutely showed me that the parents need to have harmony and they need to be in tune with each other. Decisions need to be made with talking with each other and making sure that it's a unified basis.
That's key. If you don't, I think that's what Kevin was referring to a moment ago. Kevin Lehman, you got to be right on the same page. I think he said thoroughly married, which is a good line, really, be thoroughly married. Okay, Clarence, thank you. Appreciate it. Let's go to Guillermo is on the line. Welcome to the program.
Well, good morning or good afternoon.
Yes, appreciate your call. What's your take on this today?
Oh, my goodness. Well, where can I start? It's, you know, as previous callers have mentioned, it's extremely important to for a wife and husband to maintain unity in their decisions that they make, especially when one of the former spouses still in the mix and trying to derail any form of discipline, any form of positive reinforcement, which has been my challenge.
So you end up not being on the same page with your wife.
Well, my wife and I are, but my former spouse is always what my wife and I are with my son.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit, but I think I got the gist of it there, that when you have, because you got mom who's on a different page than you are, so it's you and your ex-wife, or mom is on a different page when it comes to you and your current wife. And, of course, that's part of the dynamic we talk about. Because when you get married, the blending, you're bringing all of that reality, you know, ours and his and theirs into this mix. And I always tell people, listen, if the two of you can't keep the marriage going, and I know it makes it more difficult than to have agreement about kids, because, frankly, if you could agree about all those things, you probably would have stayed married, perhaps. But the reality is, for the benefit of the children, sometimes we got to sit down and say, can we at least agree to disagree and come up with one strategy that we can stand on together? But when that's not possible, and often it's not, what you got to do in your case and cases of all blended families, that you and your spouse today know how you're going to parent, don't apologize for it, do it intentionally, do it lovingly, do it consistently, don't do it with guilt. Guilt will drive you into the ditch. When it comes to parenting, especially in blended families, be on the same page and let your kids know you love them. You're going to treat them differently because they're different, but that in this home we have certain ways that we live and standards that we maintain, and we do that. And we do it intentionally, we do it lovingly, and we do it consistently. And ultimately, I think that honors Christ in your blended family.
God bless you, brother. This is David from Oklahoma calling, and I just I really appreciate the encouragement and the spirit-led advice that you give on your talk show. It's very, very much appreciated. It's very encouraging, very uplifting, and I'm just very grateful for all that you do. It's very edifying. We come under attack every day. We get discouraged every day, and to have other brothers and sisters out there like yourself that are positive and in the Word and want to be obedient, that's very, very uplifting. So God bless you, sir.
Well, we're glad to do it. Thank you very much. And we mentioned last week that we're wrapping up the month of November here, of course, in just a few days. And by Thanksgiving, by this Thanksgiving, to close out this month, to have met the budget that we've set for this month, we're about $28,000 to go. And I just want to ask you to pray about that. If you're a current member, thank you for your love gift. If you can share an additional gift today, we'd appreciate it. We need your help. About 20 or 25% of all the support for the ministry comes in these last 6 or 8 weeks. And so share a gift this week, even before Thanksgiving. Share the best you can. If it's $100 or if you could share $1,000 or whatever, whatever God lays on your heart will go right back into our ministry to help people. Just you can share by going to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or during West Coast business hours, you can call 888-888-1717 and press prompt code number 4. It'll take you right to our staff. And I just want to say in advance, thank you for helping us close out this month strong in these last 3 days. We really need your help. Secondly, I want to mention to you that we have Help for Blended Families, a very practical list of 10 things. It's our Intentionals Top 10 list, and it's available for you online. Go to theintentionallife.com. And when you click on the broadcast highlights, you'll see the intentionals. And we wrote these to be very helpful to blended families. Very practical, helpful things that you can do as a blended family. Maybe get it and forward it to someone that you think could benefit by it after you've read it yourself. And let me close with this verse. I think this is a good one. Ephesians 4:31 and 32. It says in the message, make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, and profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. I think that is probably the best message for blended families. Forgiveness, the power of forgiveness. Coming up in the next program, we're going to talk about healthy holiday health with King Hoover. Don't you love that name? King Hoover is going to join me as our health expert. And we're going to talk about social media in a future program as well, and your kids, how to deal with social media and your children intentionally, okay? So thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time right here live from our Intentional Living Center with more help for you and your family from Intentional Living. Have a great day.